The opinions expressed in the Continuation Podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Continuation Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope everybody's listening. I hope you guys had an amazing week of watching basketball, of watching sports, and are just living your best life. Welcome back to the show. Without further ado, let's jump right into it. We had a pretty busy week of basketball. Things didn't ramp up until after the All-Star break till Thursday, February 22nd. This was my reading week for school, so I got to watch a whole lot of basketball this week, which I was very pleased about. And there were some great games, both in the NBA and NCAA. So let's break those down and talk about them right now. So first up, Thursday, February 2nd, two games I wanted to highlight. The first game I want to talk about is the Orlando Magic beating the Cleveland Cavaliers 116-109 in Cleveland. This is a big Eastern Conference matchup that could be a possible Eastern Conference semifinal, I would think. These are two good teams. Although we'll talk about Cleveland and the playoffs a little bit later on, but they're two good teams. Cleveland is currently the 2 seed, and I believe the Orlando Magic are the 6th seed. Pardon me, they are the 6th seed. So these are two great teams, good matchup. What happened in this one? Obviously, Orlando prevailed. Who helped them in that? It was Mo Wagner. In fact, it was the Wagner brothers, Mo and Franz. Mo had 22.7 boards off the bench. Leading the team in points, and Franz Wagner had 14 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists. Four other players also had 12 points or more on the Orlando Magic, including Banchero, Cole Anthony, Joe Ingles, and Wendell Carter Jr., and three of those guys came off the bench. So just a really good overall team effort from Orlando. Cleveland, on the other hand, not that they played terrible, it's just their bench didn't really help them out as much. We had Darius Garland. He led them with 18 points, 10 assists, 2 steals. And Jared Allen was next up with 18 points, 10 rebounds, and 2 steals. They were getting the steals, clearly. Max Strauss also had 18 points. And then you look at Evan Mobley, a pretty reliable big man. Along with Jared Allen, he had 14 points, 8 rebounds. Like I said, in this one, it was pretty much just Orlando's bench that won this game. Off the bench, they had 63 points compared to Cleveland's 24. Next up, we're going to move on to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They beat the Clippers 129-107 this week in Oklahoma. Again, now on the other side of things, this is a Western Conference matchup that we could see in the conference semifinal. I think OKC is an amazing team, and the Clippers are so deep. So what happened in this one? OKC starters pretty much popped off. And in fact, according to the stats, I didn't watch this game. I watched the highlights, but it was a block party, in terms of actual block shots. Shai Gilgeous, he had 31 points, 8 assists, 2 blocks in this one. Chet Holmgren, he had 17 points, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks. Lugens Dort, Canadian, as long as Shai, should have said that too. He had 19 points, 2 blocks. Jalen Williams, who I really like. I think he's a big factor in OKC success, obviously other than Shai and Chet. He had 18 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, and 3 blocks. And even Josh Giddey had 12 points and 1 block, if you could believe it. Absolutely ridiculous. They were just all over them defensively, you could say. LA Clippers, on the other hand, their starters were just simply outperformed. Kawhi, he played good. He had 20 points with 75% shooting from the field. Paul George, on the other hand, kind of didn't really play that good at all. He had 14 points, 7 boards, 6 assists. And Zubac, their big center for the Clippers, had 13 points and 12 boards, kind of his standard game. James Harden was also somewhat quiet. He had 17 points, 6 boards. But these are two of the better teams in the West. And if they're all healthy, I'm predicting, and I think a lot of people would predict this just based on the standings, I predict the OKC, Clippers, Nuggets, and Suns in the Final Four in the West. That's kind of my take for now for the Western Conference, but that was a good game. OKC pretty much dominated a good Clippers team. So that was Thursday. Moving on to Friday, February 23rd. We got to talk about the Raptors at least once. You know, I love talking about my Canadian basketball players and teams, even though there's only one Canadian team in the NBA. But the Raptors on Friday beat Atlanta in a close home matchup at Scotiabank Arena. Score was 123-121. Now, I listened to this game on the radio and watched the end of it, or I watched the beginning and listened to the end on the radio. I had work, so I couldn't watch the whole game, but I was listening to it in the car. And it got really close near the end. The Raptors bench played great, and was able to help close out a talented Atlanta team, I thought. You look at here are some Toronto stats. Emmanuel Quickly, IQ, as they call him, had 24 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. He had a great game. I'm loving his... I actually really like the trade that they made for Ananobi, him and RJ Barrett. I think it's a good trade. Like, it worked out. Obviously, we had to get rid of Ananobi for something, for someone. So I think we got some good players in Quickly, some good young players in Quickly, obviously, a Torontonian in RJ Barrett, or a guy from the GTA anyway. Anyway, so Quickly played great. He had 24 points, 7 boards, 5 assists. He's gelling with the team nice. Scotty Barnes, he had 20 points, 10 assists, 5 boards. And then, surprisingly, Grady Dick off the bench, he's been playing better lately. He had 20 points. He's starting to fit in with the team, starting to understand the pace of the NBA, I think. A lot of people, up until this point in the season, have been pretty upset with the pick the Raptors made. I think it was the 8th pick in the draft. There are a lot of players that are doing a lot better that were much later picks for other teams. But I think Grady Dick just has to develop. He was a great player for Kansas in college. Great in the tournament, competitive guy, can shoot fast. He's like 6'8", 6'7". I think he can be good in the league, and I think he's just getting comfortable, so I'm happy that he had a good game in this one. You look at Atlanta, on the other hand, DeJounte Murray, he had 24 points, 10 boards, and 7 assists for them. We had no Trae Young in this one, but Sadiq Bey traded from the Pistons, which I did not know up until this game for some reason. I liked him on the Pistons a lot. He had 18 points and 9 rebounds for Atlanta in this one. But a big surprise was DeAndre Hunter. He's been a good player for Atlanta for a while. He had 22 points and 5 boards off the bench. So he was part of the reason this game was close down the stretch. But thank goodness, Toronto prevailed. And they outscored their bench. Toronto's bench outscored Atlanta by 3 points, 54 points to 51 off the bench, which is quite a lot. But it was Quickly that closed out the game. Or at least that's what I listened to on the radio. And I liked it a lot. And Raptors defense were playing great, so you'd love to see it. Raptors win. Moving on to the next game on Friday, February 23rd, we had the Milwaukee Bucks get a much-needed win against the top team in the NBA, one would argue, the Minnesota Timberwolves. The final score in this one was 112-107, and this game was in Minnesota. So big win, like I said, from Milwaukee. Giannis had 33 points in this one, 13 rebounds and 5 assists. Big performance from the Greek Freak. Dame Time, on the other hand, he had 21 points, 9 boards, 10 assists, almost a triple-double. Very good as well. Now, going on the other hand to Minnesota, Anthony Edwards, for those of you that don't know, I hope you would know. He had 28 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists. A pretty dominant performance. Karl-Anthony Towns, on the other hand, played pretty good as well. 22 points, 14 boards, 3 assists. But Minnesota, had a pretty terrible shooting night. They were 43% from the field as a team. And poor shooting from the role players. I'm pretty sure Ant took quite a few shots. I don't have that on my stat sheet here, but they just couldn't get it done. But I think this is a much-needed win for Milwaukee. I'm happy they won. I was feeling bad for Doc Rivers. The media's been on him quite a bit, especially before the All-Star break when they were on a bit of a losing stint. I think we talked about that in the last episode. But Milwaukee's a good team. I mean, they're just figuring out their perimeter defense. They're figuring out how Dame and Giannis are still figuring out how to complement each other. They're getting used to Doc. They're getting used to the coaching. And I think this is going to be a good team in the East still. Obviously, they got the talent for it. I think Chris Middleton needs to pick up the slack a bit, but you know they still got a lot of time with a quarter of the season left, and I think they can figure it out and make a good playoff run for sure. So that's what happened on Friday. Moving on to Saturday, February 24th, the one game I want to talk about here was the Celtics beating the Knicks in New York at the famous Madison Square Garden. Final score of this one was 116-102. Now, when you look at the Knicks, they were struggling quite a bit before the All-Star break. They had 5 losses in 6 games. And now, obviously, this is all without star player Julius Randle. He dislocated his shoulder in like a couple weeks before the All-Star break, which was really sad to see. It was a really weird play, too. But they've been struggling since they lost him, I would say. I mean, as good as guys like Jalen Brunson are, Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, and things like that, it's tough to play without Randle. He's a big presence, so I think they're still figuring that out. But Boston went in and beat them in their own place. They played really efficient, the Celtics did. They were 57% from the field as a team, which is pretty impressive. We look at their top scorers and players for that night. Jaylen Brown, he had 30 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. Amazing. Kristaps Porzingis, another dominant force in the league when he's healthy, I would say. 22 points, 4 assists. And then Jason Tatum had 19 points, 6 assists, and 6 boards. Pretty good from all three of their top guys, Boston. And then New York, the Knicks, Brunson, he had 34 points. He did as much as he could, right? 34 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists. Josh Hart, he had 16 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. But I am worried with Randall Hurd. I mean, the dislocated shoulder, I don't think he's back for at least a couple weeks still, or maybe more weeks than that. But I'm worried about their stock dropping in the East, you know. They're currently just outside of the play-in, I believe. You know, those playing games are always very tough because you don't really want to get upset, but it can happen. You know, it's kind of like that March Madness. It can really happen if you don't show up as a team, and if you're battling injuries, especially. So I think the Knicks are gonna want to try to avoid that playing game as much as they can and try to get in that first round. But they're currently in fourth in the East, so they're doing good right now. But I could see their stock dropping, especially without Randall. And I think it'll be close. It'll be a nail biter near the season's end. Anyway, that's going to do it for the NBA Week in Review. Now let's move on. Some crazy stuff happened in the NCAA this week, both on the women's and men's side of things. So let's start with the men's. First thing I want to talk about, number 15 Creighton Blue Jays upset the currently number one nationally ranked team in the United States in a March Madness preview matchup. This is something I love to see. I love watching these games and just seeing these highlights. I didn't end up watching the game in real time, but I watched the highlights and definitely heard about it when it happened, and I think it was a big upset that not many people expected. Creighton, in winning this one, they handed UConn just their third loss of the year. The only other teams they lost to were Seton Hall, which was very strange, and Kansas, the Kansas Jayhawks of Hunter Dickinson, quite a good team. But Creighton in this one, it was 6'1 senior guard Steven Ashworth. He had 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists, and then another player that popped off for them was 7'1 senior center. Sorry, pardon me. He was a 7'1 senior and he plays center. Ryan Kalkbrenner, who we saw in the tournament last year, and he was pretty great. I mean, last year they had a Canadian guard, Ryan Nemhard, who's actually my age. I played soccer against this kid growing up, but he's obviously a hell of a basketball player. He's currently on Gonzaga following in his brother Andrew's footsteps, but he was very good for them in the tournament, and Kalkbrenner was amazing. They were a good 1-2 punch. Sad to see him leave, but he's doing great on Gonzaga, Ryan Nemhard. But Creighton played great defensively. You know, they had 5 blocks and 3 steals on the game, kind of shut down UConn's supporting cast. UConn, on the other hand, their 6'5 senior guard did kind of pop off, shot a lot of shots, though. This was senior guard Tristan Newton. He had 27 points, 12 rebounds, and 4 assists for the Huskies. Again, he shot 21 shots, so quite a few shots. It seems like UConn couldn't really get anything else going, especially from the highlights. Creighton did a good job of restricting their offense to one guy. And UConn also just had a really terrible shooting night. They were 18 from the three-point line, which is always tough to win as, especially on the road, as this game was in Creighton. Although it's a pretty big upset, even though this was an away game, like I said, bad shooting for UConn. But I think it pays tribute to Creighton's defense. And I think looking far ahead, or not too far ahead, it's coming up, but to March Madness, Creighton's a good team. I think they're a good bet. I think I'm going to put them in the Sweet 16 at least for sure. So, and this win just further proves that, further proves their stock, right? So, yeah. So that was one game I wanted to mention. The other game I wanted to mention happened pretty recently. I think it was just a day ago, 2 days ago, rather. I'm recording this on Sunday, February 25th. On Friday, February 23rd, the unranked Wake Forest team upset the number 8 ranked in the nation, Duke Blue Devils. Quite a game this was. Wake Forest shot 61% from the field at home. This game was in Wake Forest. It was 6'5 junior Hunter Salas that absolutely popped for Wake Forest. He had 29 points, 6 rebounds, and shot 11 for 13 from the field and 5 for 6 from 3. That is ridiculous. That is called stepping up to the occasion. Unbelievable. I hadn't really heard of this guy up until this game. So shout out to him. Hunter Salas obviously was a baller before that for sure, but first time he's popping up on my radar, so good for him. They also had one of their seniors, Andrew Carr. He had 18 points and 4 assists for Wake Forest, so pretty big win. Duke, on the other hand, you know, we know they're good guys. They have 7-foot sophomore, you know, Kyle Filipowski. He is quite the player, one of the top players in the nation, I would say. He had 17 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists on the game, 6 for 13 from the field, and 1 for 6 from 3. He really struggled in this one. And then Jared McCain, TikTok star and also lights out shooter. He had 15 points and shot 3 for 4 from 3. I'd like to see him getting more shots up. I'm sure Coach John Shire for Duke wants him shooting more than 4 threes a game. I know he's kind of that facilitator, playmaker, point guard, but he's a gunner. So I think he should be at least shooting 6 or 7 threes or or more shots at least, you know what I mean? But they struggled in this one to shoot. But the big story about this game was controversy over the fans storming the court. Kyle Filipowski actually sprained his ankle as the fans stormed the court. They pushed him. Some crazy fan pushed him over. Because of such the big upset, a bunch of people rushed the floor and he ended up getting hurt. And John Shire was pretty not happy with this. And I think I would have to agree. I mean, I'm all for court storming. I think it's really cool for the NBA, or sorry, for the NCAA culture and things like that. Like I really enjoy it. But if it means players are going to get injured, especially in a regular season game, I think it's just, you got to have limits, right? You got to have limits. So I don't think you can have players get injured. The NCAA can't have that on their hands. So should definitely not have that happen. But shout out to Wake Forest, huge win against Duke. And shout out to Hunter Salas, amazing performance by him. A few honorable mention on the men's side I wanted to briefly mention. Oklahoma's Javion McCollum hit a game winner for Oklahoma in OT to help them prevail over rival team Oklahoma State on Saturday. This game was in Oklahoma State, and it was Javion McCollum that hit a step back three at the buzzer. Ball was in the air as the buzzer went off to ice it and win the game for Oklahoma in overtime. Crazy, crazy game. The other one I wanted to mention was Ohio State guards Dale Bonner. He hit a game winner in Michigan State. Again, these are road game winners to help beat their Big Ten opponent, Michigan State, as I just mentioned. And the crazy part about this one was Dale Bonner had only 3 points the whole game up until this shot. Pretty ice cold, and then hits a three to win the game away. Big time players make big time plays. So shout out to him for that. But how about the away game winners? Okay, moving on to the women's NCAA. A few things I wanted to briefly mention. Crazy, crazy upset. Unranked Arizona Wildcats pulled off an unheard upset against number 3 Stanford in Stanford's gym. It was freshman guard Jada Williams, who I've heard of her before. I watched one of her mixtapes, I think last year on Instagram or something, briefly went over it, but her name definitely rung a bell. She had 23 points and hit a bank shot three-pointer with about 30 seconds left to put Arizona up 2 possessions against Stanford and pretty much seal the deal for the game. And again, 23 points led the team for Arizona. So absolutely ridiculous game, ridiculous upset. Final score was 68-61. Shout out to the Wildcats. You can bet they're going to be in the tournament, especially after beating a team like that. So I'm definitely going to put that team aside, put Jada Williams aside, and remember that for the tournament when I'm filling out my bracket. Other thing on the women's NCAA side that I wanted to mention was number 1 South Carolina clinching the SEC regular season title, or clinching a share of the SEC regular season title on Friday as they beat Alabama 72-44. This win also marked legendary coach Don Stanley's 600th career win. And, you know, further establish the Gamecocks' dominance in the women's basketball circuit. They are currently still undefeated, 28-0 as of recording this episode. And it was Ashlyn Watkins that dominated the game for South Carolina. She had 14 points, 10 boards, and 3 blocks. Now, as expected, South Carolina, ridiculous team, 1 seed. I did mention, I think UConn's going to be strong too. We know Iowa's always up there with Caitlin Clark. I believe Ohio State is a good team too in the women's circuit this year. But I think South Carolina is making it to the finals, no questions asked. Not to say there could be an upset. It is college sports, and college athletes, upsets happen all the time. But I do think South Carolina has a very strong chance of regaining their NCAA title as LSU got it last year. Okay, so that's going to do it for the week in review for basketball, NBA, and NCAA edition. Okay, you know what time it is. It's time for my favorite segment in the Continuation Podcast. It is the Dunk and Flunk segment. Let's not pitter-patter. Let's get at her. Let's talk about this right now. We're going to jump in with our Dunk of the Week. Dunk of the Week, no doubt about it. I just talked about it. It's the Arizona Wildcats, upset against the number 3 ranked Stanford in the women's NCAA circuit. This is something, like I said, you just don't see often, especially with a freshman guard leading the way, 23 points, and basically a game winner. I would call it a game winner. You know, this, again, shout out to Arizona. Going to be a good team in the tournament. Going to be very fun to watch. And I love seeing these upsets, especially when they're on the road, like I had mentioned earlier. Speaks volumes to the evolution that women's basketball is going through. I think especially in the NCAA and the popularity of it, these upsets are fun to watch. They're huge. It's something you wouldn't have seen as often in the past. And I feel like now Could be because I'm just paying attention more to it. I'm not going to be unbiased in that regard, but I think it's very awesome to see, and I think it's growing these smaller market programs for women's basketball, like Arizona. You know, Stanford, we know Stanford's a powerhouse. UConn's a powerhouse. LSU has developed as a powerhouse as of late. But I love to see these smaller teams getting these top guards like Jada Williams and upsetting these top programs. I think it's great for the culture, for the women's NCAA basketball, and for women's basketball as a whole. So that is going to be my dunk for this week. Moving on to the flunk of the week. It has to be, for me, second seed Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA, losing two straight conference matchups out of the All-Star break. I think definitely not time to hit the alarm button yet. They did not have Donovan Mitchell in these games, which is huge. He's been out due to illness since the All-Star break. But I think it could be an early sign of a repeated storyline with Cleveland. Last two playoffs in the last 2 years, they've had a decent team, pretty much the same team that they have now, I would say, with the exception of maybe Max Strauss and a couple other players here and there. But Darius Garland, Mobley, Jared Allen, and Donovan Mitchell. And last year they lost to the Knicks in the first round, 4-1, not even close. And that was a 4v5 seed game. Cleveland was the 4. And the year before that, they lost in a play-in game as a 9 seed. So I feel like it could be an early sign of a repeated storyline with Cleveland. I think they're going to start dropping down unless Donovan Mitchell gets back in the lineup and picks things up. But that's going to be my flunk of the week. Two conference matchups, Orlando and the Sixers. Sixers without Embiid, not good. So that is going to be my dunk and flunk of the week. All right, let's keep things moving along here in the continuation podcast. This has to be one of my second favorite segments, I would say. It's time for the big bets, Butler's big bets, betting segment, fantasy segment, even though we're not talking about fantasy, only betting, whatever you want to call it. It's going to start right now. I still don't know the results from the picks from the previous episode. As of the time I'm recording this episode, that episode hasn't been released yet, so I don't know those games yet, so we don't know what happens. But as soon as I do, I will let you guys know. It might be in episode 4 of this season, so I'll let you guys know as soon as it happens. But let's just assume we're 4-0. I mean, I think that's what's going to happen anyway. So anyway, just kidding. Let's keep things moving along here. So these are going to be picks for the week of Monday, March 11th to Friday, March 15th. Again, these are underdog picks, something that can boost your parlays, win you a little bit extra money. Once again, we don't know the odds just yet, but I'm picking teams that, according to the standings and things like that, would be underdogs. So on Monday, March 11th, I got the Suns to cover the spread against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Moving on to Tuesday, March 12th, I have the LA Clippers, I believe, to beat Minnesota in LA. Now, these odds will be close. I'd like to think Minnesota would be favored because they're a top team in the West, but it's going to be close. If they're not, take Clippers spread. Moving on to Wednesday, March 13th, I have the LA Lakers now to beat Sacramento in Sacramento. Lakers are pretty on and off. I feel like they could steal this one away, especially if some role players like Austin Rivers play good. Moving on to Thursday, March 14th, I got the Milwaukee Bucks to cover the spread against the 76ers. No Embiid still. Bucks are bound to heat up like I was talking about before. I think they're going to start to finally mesh. So that's my pick, Milwaukee to beat the Sixers on Thursday. Now moving on to our last pick, Friday, March 15th, I got the New Orleans Pelicans to beat the LA Clippers in New Orleans. Again, considering injuries, I think New Orleans got a good enough team at home. They play pretty decent, and Clippers can be a bit inconsistent, especially if Kawhi doesn't show up. They don't really have much other help. So yeah, those are my picks. Thank you so much, guys, for listening to another episode of the Continuation Podcast. I greatly appreciate all of you that tune in. I hope I provided some knowledge and some extra insight on the world of basketball in its current setting. I know some of these episodes are coming out later than expected, a couple weeks after these events have actually happened. But I do enjoy talking about it, and I'm having a lot of fun doing this podcast. And we will have some guests to come in later episodes, I promise. So stay tuned for that. As always, everyone, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have an amazing rest of your week. Enjoy the day, and as always, keep on hooping. Thanks, guys.